The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined on the line by Catherine Fry today to look ahead to the best of Friday's action. That's coming from Exeter and Sandown. Three interesting affairs. Maybe not the amount of runners that we wanted in a couple of them, but nevertheless very intriguing. We're also going to have a look at the news of today. Gerard Butler, of course, the Racing Post leads with disgrace Butler given 5-year ban. We'll be chatting about that, as well as the fact that Sprinter Sacra will not be taking part in the Tingle Creek on Saturday. How's things, Catherine?
Yeah, good, thanks, Alex. A lot less windy down here as it is with you.
Yeah, it's pretty gale force up here today.
Certainly
causing a few problems, I'll tell you, in Leeds, but we're still here, don't worry. We're battling on through the wind. I'm just not going to go out at all, leave the house for a few days.
Yeah.
Right, as I mentioned, we'll start with the Gerard Butler case. The headline, disgraced Butler given 5-year ban, BHA condemns truly appalling behaviour. Now, we don't want to say too much about this, but he's been given a 5-year ban, and it doesn't look good for racing, does it?
No, yeah, again, look at everything that's been thrown up this year with obviously the Maz case and now this. You just kind of put your head in your hands, really, but look, it's the only course of action, really, wasn't it? I mean, the fact that he was giving them a steroid that you're supposed to give to humans. Do you know what I mean? It's very sad. It's just, and I think the Racing Post headline, sort of there, a potential star who failed to hit the heights, is probably quite true, really. I remember Compton Admiral winning the Eclipse and sort of thinking, this lad's got a bright future, and,
It's disappointing. It's a shame, and obviously we can influence it. Nothing that we can do, but just hope that nothing like this happens again in the future, because it does sort of tarnish the sport a little, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And to have two sort of such high profile cases, or such sort of sensational cases within a year, you probably know what it's like, Alex. You spend a lot of people that around you that aren't into racing and only hear sort of stories like this, you spend most of your time defending the sport you love to them.
Yeah, definitely not. No, I'd agree with that. A lot of my friends aren't particularly bothered about racing, and they'll hear stories like this and think, what are you doing in that business?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'd love to move on to more positive news. I'd love to say that Sprinter Sacra has been cleared to run on Saturday, but he has not. Not fit enough. Real shame, isn't it?
It is, but what can you do? You wouldn't risk any horse with a bad scope, let alone a horse of Sprinter Sacra's calibre. Mm. It's a desperate shame, but still, it's still a good race. Yeah, you've got the likes of Captain Conan, Sardar Grugian there, and obviously the the resurgent Summersby. Mm. I fully expected Sardar Grugian to win at Cheltenham, and when he didn't, I was puzzled, and I do wonder if it's the track. Obviously, he was beaten at Cheltenham the year before by Captain Conan in that Arkell trial. Expect him to be far more at home at Sandown. He did win the Celebration Chase there. I want to compare him to how he runs at Sandown to how he runs at Cheltenham. I fully expect, to be honest, Captain Conan to looks the likely winner of this. I was a late convert to Captain Conan. But I saw him in action at Aintree, and I thought, I get it now. It kind of all clicked into place with me that day. It's a watching brief for me, but But the most likely winner for me is Captain Conan.
Well, as you said there, you had that feeling with Captain Conan that you were sort of not on his side, if you like, but you've been persuaded.
Yes.
I'm very much the same with Cider Grugy, but I am yet to be persuaded. I'll just run you through the betting for the Tingle Creek. We've got Cider Grugy at 5-4, Captain Conan 11-4, Summersby at 3-1, and then a jump to Corto Stone and Wazo Dunwee at 14s, His Excellency 25s, Titaniano and Viva Cloney at 33s, and down at the bottom, the little blighter that is Mad Moose. boosting the each-way terms, hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed he'll decide to set off if he does run. Not a bad horse, actually, once he gets going, although shouldn't be winning a Tingle Creek, but it must be frustrating owning him.
Yeah,
anyway.
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, just before the Open meeting at Chatham, I was up at Twiston's, and he said it's so frustrating, Mad Moose is actually the fastest horse up the gallop. And you know, you see him out in his natural environment, and he's happily going up the gallop with all of his stable mates, and I mean, wouldn't you love to know what goes on inside his head?
Well,
I mean, does he do it for the crack, or do you know what I mean?
Well, I was at Doncaster the day that he won on the flat,
right?
And obviously, I was there with my aforementioned friends who are not especially into racing. You know, they go every now and again. And I was trying to explain Mad Moose to them and saying it is talented, but it's just very sulky, you know. And they were like, okay, all right, I like the sound of that. And anyway, they backed it and it won. I think it was 25-1 or 20.
Yeah.
It was a very big price. I could not believe it. But they, I suppose they'll be supporting them again at the weekend. They may be the only ones. 66s looks a fair price. But anyway, we are digressing here. You're saying that you'd rather take Captain Conan over Cider Grugy.
Yeah, from what I make of them so far, Cider Grugy, he did when he won at Chepstow. I thought, okay, maybe the undulations will sort of play to his strengths at Cheltenham, and then I there's something about that Cheltenham race that I still can't figure out. He should have beaten Kid Cassidy, really, on all that we know. And before that, I started to think that Cider Grugy was looking quite big in the each way market for the Champion Chase. You know, I think he was like 25s in places, and I thought, well, that is a massive price. But yeah, I don't know. I want to compare. I want to see. I've got no doubt in my mind he's a very, very talented horse, but I just want to compare this run in the Tingle Creek to how he runs at Cheltenham. To sort of, I think it's the track. I really do. And in that case, then he's doing very well to even finish so close.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not too. I'm still not quite sold. Probably as I was really with Captain Conan this time last year. Like I said, I wasn't even sold on Captain Conan's run at the festival. But back at Aintree, I thought, yeah, absolutely okay. I get it now. It's all clicking into place.
Mm. What I would say is that Cider Grugy disappointed for me as well at Aintree.
Yeah.
Which is obviously very different track to Cheltenham, and is a track that you'd expect him to enjoy a little bit more. I saw Special Tiara beat Cider Grugy on National Day. I was actually with Special Tiara at Cheltenham when they reopposed recently. I was more against Cider Grugy than with Special Tiara, if you catch my drift there.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the 5-4 just looks rather skinny for this.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Okay. We will crack on then to Friday's action. We'll kick things off with the 1:30 from Exeter. It is the Harry Dutfield Memorial Novices Chase over almost 2.5 miles. 5 runners down to go to post. A disappointing turnout.
Yeah.
There's only 2 that this market seems to be interested in. That is Cad de Burley for Paul Nichols, who is a sort of perennial runner-up, if you like, and Pistol for Philip Hobbs, who's blinkered first time. I wouldn't want to be putting my house on either of these, to be honest, but it does seem a match, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, in terms of when we were going through selecting what races we'd look at, when I looked at the entries, I actually had lovely entries. Mr. Mole was actually entered for this. So it was African Gold, Oscar Whiskey, Captain Conan. Obviously, we know Captain Conan probably wouldn't have turned up here. Yeah, I think of the two, a Pistol, obviously, juvenile hurdle winner, and Desperate Ground at Sandown last season. He should be pretty fit. He's had a spin on the flat over 2 miles after his hurdles reappearance in October. But to me, the most likely winner is Cad de Burley. Obviously, his chase debut gets £3 from the kind of the three that we're not really going to factor in. He was a maiden over hurdles, but if you actually look at the form of that, he was second in the Grade One finale. He was second in the Fred Winter to Flaxen Flair. And it opened the season being second to Jesky, where Flaxen Flair was actually third. If you look at the consistency of how Flaxen Flair is, I mean, what a tough little horse Flaxen Flair is. You know, fourth in the Great Wood, placed in the Galway Hurdle. If you sort of put him on a direct line through Flaxen Flair, even though this is his chase debut, this is the most likely winner to me. You would expect, given his heritage almost of, you know, coming from France, you'd expect him to show more over fences. And look, there's, of course, he's going to have him fully primed for this. Coming from this yard, you're going to have no sort of issues of how he's jumping, of how he's been schooling. I know. Like I said, he hasn't won in this country, but that doesn't really bother me, to be honest. If you look at the company he's been running in, I mean, he was well beaten by My Turn or Yours in the Betfair Hurdle back in February. But if you look at him on all known form, then he does have the beating of Pistol.
Yeah. Okay. So will that be the pick there?
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be much of a price, is he? But.
As you said, it is effectively a match, and
yeah,
in a match bet, you know, if you've got a strong view on it,
then
by all means,
yeah, fully expect Canterbury to score first time over fences.
Okay, then next up, we'll look at the 205 from Exeter. It is the Devon Marathon handicap chase over 4 miles, 12 runners down to go to post for this grueling contest. We've got Whistling Senator and J&B are likely to be towards the head of the market, and. The two youngest horses in the race, but both six-year-olds, both very consistent. Maybe not improving anymore, but certainly. Well, yeah, you could argue that they are. I suppose.
I think they are. I think when I sort of looked through this race, I thought, to be honest with you, I can only really see two potential improvers in it, and that is J&B and Whistling Senator. You've got a Kianshan Leader, fully capable, but I mean, he's it's going to be a tough ask off tough weight when you've got things that are going to improve under him. Older Luck gets on well with Mikey Ennis, and Mikey Ennis does take the £7 off, but again, you know, he's 10, he's going to be vulnerable to the younger legs of Whistling Senator and J&B, who I fully believe are still improving. I think Whistling Senator, I watched him. Went to Worcester quite a bit in the summer for the evening meetings and watched him rack up a hat-trick of wins at 2 mile 7. That was on, obviously, like, rock-hard ground. But the winter ground isn't going to be a problem to him. He was third to Standing Ovation at Exeter in October, and he was just touched off at Warwick. He was a little bit short of room in the finish there. It was over 3 mile 2. Both of those were on 1.15. He's only up to 1.17 now, and I have had Whistling Senator in my mind for a while for like a long distance chase. J&B, he's up £7 for the win at Ludlow. Finished second behind a horse quite like Franklin Roosevelt at Wincanton. I think the market's right, to be honest, Alex. So the most likely winner for me is Whistling Senator. I think he's still very well treated.
Okay, then the John Joe O'Neill trained Whistling Senator, the pick there in the Devon Marathon. Interesting in that you do have so many, let's say what they are, older horses, who you wouldn't be surprised if they run a good race. The likes of Major Malarkey has been pretty highly tried over these kind of, he's been running in better races, shall we say.
Yeah.
And achieving practically nothing. But there are a lot of these that you won't be surprised if they could just run. And interesting to see, you mentioned Mikey Ennis taking 7 off. We've got Jake Greenall, Ryan Hatcher and Ben Post, who all are taking weight off, and that could be invaluable over this trip.
Yeah, absolutely. Would sort of completely agree with that. The sort of, you've got Jolly Boy's outing and River Door sort of really out of the handicap. River Door is a horse that's kind of, I used to think that there was a nice prize in River Door, but to be honest, I think the chance has gone with him. I think there was a time when something like this could have been up his street, but it's definitely gone. The one thing the major malarkey is I would be, I know that in the last couple of days we have seen a turnaround in the fortunes of the Twist and Davis Yard, because they've been having a desperate time. They've lost two good horses. The form has been terrible. I understand that they have done something to the gallop. I think they've had sort of some kind of carpet put in okay. the gallop, and that sort of, I believe that has been causing a few problems. So that is understandable, and it would be great to see a resurgence from them. And just look, I know obviously we're not talking high profile here, but we have seen the last couple of days that start to happen. And I would love to see them. They deserve a bit of luck. They're a nice. I love going up there. It's just such a nice yard and good people. So I would like to see a turnaround in their fortunes. But yeah, back to the race. I think both Whistling Senator and J&B are open to any amount of improvement. And Whistling Senator, I make my pick purely because I've had him in mind for a marathon chase for a while.
Okay, then. Between the two, but Whistling Senator, the selection there. John O'Neill, of course, won this race last year with Arbor Supreme, and it didn't look like we were going to get another win out of that. So certainly targeting the race, and that is the pick there. The final race that we'll look at comes from Sandown. It is the 220. It is the Future Stars Chase. An intermediate listed contest over the extended 3 miles. We only have three runners going to post here, Catherine, but I mean, that sounds desperate. You can't rule any of them out, certainly, and they are very, very high class.
They are. It was obviously good to see Harry Topper win the Charlie Hall. I was probably a little bit guilty of underestimating Harry Topper. He had that sort of desperate end to the season where Connections had sort of skipped Cheltenham and skipped Aintree, and then he was unseated, wasn't he, at Kelso, and then goes across to take in the Grade One race at Punchestown and gets brought down. I mean, that's just desperate luck.
Well, I think a lot of punters, certainly ones that I'd spoken to, had sort of had him as a bit of a sort of forgotten horse, if you like, before the Charlie Hall.
Yeah.
But his price didn't really reflect that in the end. I mean, he went off 5-1 in a competitive enough race.
Yeah, he did. And it's the form of the Charlie Hall is actually quite hard to work out. You've got, obviously, Long Run not running his race at all. The Deuce and Winner possibly Beneficent just failing to see out the trip. Wayward Prince, I mean, he was second in the Charlie Hall last year and filled the frame again. I'm not sure really how to weigh up the form of the Charlie Hall, but really when you look back, it was absolutely no surprise to see Harry Topper going. I guess I've just never really seen the hype about this horse, but I really want to see the hype about this horse. He did actually beat Rocky Creek at Exeter at the beginning of last season. Look, Rocky Creek just touched off in the Hennessy. I mean, that's excellent form. Another horse that would tie in with Rocky Creek would be his stablemate Rolling Aces. He actually finished second to him in his first ever point to point at Carrigtwohill. That was the point that I saw that had me raving about Rocky Creek, and he was purchased then by the connections to go to Paul Nicholls, and then Rolling Aces himself went and won his next point at Lismore, and then joined again like Rocky Creek joined the Nicholls stable. Rolling Aces, he's kind of made that transition, hasn't he, from very good handicapper to a graded horse. There was very taken with his win at Down Royal in the Grade Two, the Powers Irish Whiskey Chase. Obviously beat Tona Doudray and Texas Jack, what trip does Texas Jack want? Who really knows? Obviously you've got horses like Oscar's Well and Buckers Bridge behind him there. He's essentially kind of, even they're on level weights, but sort of like on official ratings, Rolling Aces is well in, is better in. I'm actually going to side with Rolling Aces for this race, and with Vino Grego, obviously he was a very, very good handicapper last year, but the wheels have kind of, he hasn't had the best start to this season. Obviously unseated behind John Spirit at the Showcase at Cheltenham, and then actually fell in the Paddy Power, won by John Spirit. at Cheltenham a few weeks ago, and he sort of he ended the season on such a high. He won a sort of nice handicap on trials day. He went on to win at Ascot, and then he was actually second at the festival. And it's kind of he hasn't really kind of started this season in the same vein. But saying that, things sort of not as badly, but you know he did take a fall at Ascot early on in the season last year. It's a fascinating little contest. Obviously, he gets a bit of weight from the main two. Again, I want Harry Topper to. I know Harry Topper is being spoken about in sort of terms of maybe having a crack at the Gold Cup. I want to see him show me that he's kind of that he's up to that almost. Yeah. Whereas Rolling Ace has always had a bit of a soft spot for him, so. I'll make him my selection.
Okay, I think I'll take you on there, Catherine.
Okay.
I think I'm not a Harry Topper fan as such, but I don't think he'll win the Gold Cup. Certainly not. But I just think he might win tomorrow. I just think he's. I think it could get a bit tactical this race.
No, definitely.
And I just think that he might be slightly more sort of savvy, if you like, to that. Jason Maguire on board as well, who of course doesn't mind going from the front if need be, traditionally at least on Donald McCain's horses, but. I mean, it is crazy that, I mean, we've just managed to talk for that long about a three-winner race. You know, I mean, I agree with what you're saying about Vino Griego. I think even if he was arriving here at the peak of his form last year, he'd probably struggle. And I don't think he'll struggle in this as such, but hard to see him winning. But you prefer Rolling Aces of the two major ones there in Sandown's 220. Could you just sum up your three picks, the two at Exeter and the one at Sandown, please, Catherine?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go. Where did we start? We started with the 130 at Exeter,
we did.
Didn't we? Yeah. Okay, my computer's been a bit...
Do you want me to do this bit for you, Catherine?
No, we're there now. Yeah, so, okay, yeah, I remember now where we started. Yeah, 130 Exeter. Very, obviously, look, he's going to be no price at all, but fully expect Caderberle to go in his first run over fences. In the marathon chase, the 205 at Exeter, I've always thought Whistling Senator had a decent long-distance chase in him, so he's my selection. And at Ascot, It is a very tough call, but I will side with Rolling Aces purely because, as I said there, we talked about it for a while, but I've kind of just been watching him progress, and to me, he's just, with that winning down roll last time, he's just started to sort of show that he can be capable of matching into this class.
Yeah. Okay, great stuff, Catherine. Thank you very much for your time. Best of luck with those selections.
Thank you.
We'll catch up with you next week or the week after. I don't know when, to be honest.
But
we will catch up with you soon.
Definitely. We'll be back next week.
Thank you.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.